You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
I am Jordan and I'm here at the SRA conference, and we have just had SRA Con at the movies with Andrew and Jenny from Classic FM. So firstly, I want to ask you, well, I'm a big fan of radio, I'm a big fan of movies. I had disassociated the two. So how do you associate the two, really?
I think the very best movie music is music that, if you take it away from a film, the film no longer works. So it's not just that there is music or not music in a film, because some films don't have that much soundtrack on. One of my favourite soundtracks is the soundtrack to Zulu by John Barry, which is a long film and has a total of 20 minutes of music. The soundtrack album has 20 minutes of music on it, and so the rest of it, there's no music, it's just silence. So there is an argument always for taking the music away. Sometimes there can be too much music on a film. So when you're watching a film now, unfortunately, I listen out for the music. It's not ruined it, but it's just my ears are now open to something. I think, well, that sounds good, I wonder if that would sound good away from the pictures, because the best music for us is music that sounds good on the radio regardless of the film. And because we can't assume that anyone listening has seen the film, and you should never assume anything, so it's music that is inseparable from the film, so that when you hear it, even if you haven't seen it, you can sort of start working out what the music might be telling us about what's on the screen.
Okay, and Jenny, as a producer, how would you associate the two?
That's a really good question. I think I probably became most aware of music's impact in the cinema with, I think it's end credits, and this is not just at Classic FM, like orchestrally, but I think for me, some of the biggest impact that music has had for me at the cinema has been in the end credits. And a non-orchestral suggestion would be the Pixies, Where Is My Mind at the end of Fight Club, where you're sort of just processing what you've just witnessed. And it's that opportunity, sort of weird reflection, like weird stepping out of what you've just been in for the last couple of hours. So it's that immersive quality that music has, I suppose, just as part of the senses, really. And that's why we're really excited about launching a games music show, because it's immersion on a whole new level of when you're actually playing it, you are in it. So as a producer, I think it's just keeping aware of how the music's making the listener feel. I mean, it's as simple as that. But that really that will affect my choices for positioning of the music over the 2 hours.
Okay, and now moving on. SRAs, students, very young audience. Classical music could be deemed as an older generation. So how have you engaged young listeners, basically?
We have quite a lighter tone, I think. I wouldn't say we try and be as universal as possible in the tone of how we approach the music on all our shows, actually, not just on Saturday Night the Movies. But movies in particular is, as Andrew described it, a gateway drug for our listeners. So we'll do more social media interaction because we know that we've got a younger demographic there. And just kind of trying to keep abreast, really, of just interests. And so many films, I think, are actually ageless. Like, if you look at, I mean, a lot of the big Oscar contenders like La La Land, though me and Andrew disagreed about it, that's quite, you know, teenagers would go and see that, and then grandparents would go and see that. So you sort of have to consider it in a slightly different way.
Andrew, you mentioned that one of your shows was influenced by a 17-year-old. So what was that like for you, having such a young audience member not only listening but helping you construct a show?
It was a thrill when Molly in Barnsley got in touch with us, who turned out to be 17, big Game of Thrones fan, and didn't just want to hear Game of Thrones, she wanted to hear a specific track from the end of season 6, which was, at the time of the show anyway, the last episode that had been shown on television. And it's a 10-minute piece of music, brilliant piece of music. So not only did we have somebody young listening to the show, who obviously, and she said she listened to it regularly, so it wasn't like she just chanced upon it. So obviously very sophisticated 17-year-old, but nevertheless gave us the excuse to then do an entire 2-hour show based on TV themes, and most of them were new ones. We also used some old ones, again, to keep in the older listeners, because not everybody watches Game of Thrones. It might feel like it while you're watching it, but not everybody does. So we play the main theme first, which is important, so we can say this is the main theme, because it's a very easy piece of music to get into. It's a fantastic piece of music. And then we played Molly's Choice after that, having kind of lowered people into the Game of Thrones universe, and as a presenter, I'm very careful not to blind people with names and just say, look, there's this map and there's a lot of places on it. It doesn't matter if you've never seen it. Just listen to this amazing music. So we were delighted that Molly gave us the impetus for that show, and which is why I can still remember Molly's name and will remember it in a year's time when she's a ripe old age of 18 or 19. So I love that, because I think if you're listening and you, it doesn't matter what age you are, but if you're listening and you hear that somebody 17 has suggested the show theme, and then that is the next 2 hours. If you are over the average age of 56, then you're thinking, well, that's nice. You know, this is good. There are lots of different people listening. It's not just for me or just for somebody else or just for young people or just for old people. It's for everybody, because films are universal. I mean, the biggest films are the films that draw in an audience of young people generally. The big blockbusters, they're aimed at young audiences. We know this. But the kind of films that are nominated for Oscars tend not to be, so they're an interesting area. And if we do old movies, which we often do, last year we did 4 shows about the Oscars, running through from the 20s and 30s and 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, up to the current nominees. So we had these 4 shows, each dealing with a different era. Now, if I hear a song, a piece of music from a 1970s movie, that reminds me of being young, because that's when I will have seen it. And if I hear a piece of music from a 1930s movie, I probably saw it in the 80s on television, you know, when they started to show old movies again. And so, but if you are 60 or 70, you might remember going to see it. We had a whole show where it was for Valentine's Day. We asked people about their first date. Yeah. And some of these first dates were back in the kind of 30s and 40s, and you know, yeah, these people have been together all their lives, and they were talking about going to see a film, you know, in the 50s or something, and it was terrific. But equally, then there'll be people who went to see a film, you know, last year, and it was their first date, so they're clearly very young. It's amazing when all the ages come together, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a big party.
And lastly, a question for you, Jenny. How much harder would your job be if you didn't have any social media at all to bring in a young audience?
Oh gosh, that's a really good question. How much harder? Well, I think it would just be, we'd feel like we were in the dark a bit, because we wouldn't be getting that direct response and interaction. So we'd probably be feeling our way, because there is an element of guesswork, I think, in a lot of the show. Sometimes we can't be sure that people are going to respond positively to everything we play. But yeah, that's the brilliant thing about having that direct input, not just on a theme for an idea, but what they want to hear. And then, I mean, a good example is that recent Great Music Shame About the Movie show that there's like a regular theme that we'll return to. Well, I say regular, we've done it twice now, but it's regular now. And we had so many people tweeting specifically about Twilight New Moon. And I was just like, of all the films, of which there must be hundreds, thousands, for so many people to be going for this one Twilight film, I thought it was really interesting. And so, yeah, without social media, we wouldn't have had that specificity, I suppose. There would have been more guesswork.